My name is Ken Ackerman. I was at USDA during the 1990s. My title changed a couple of times while I was there, but I was manager of the Federal Crop Insurance Corporation from late 1993 until January of 2001 with the change of administrations. During that time, I was also the administrator of the Risk Management Agency from the time it was created in 1997 until the end, until the time that I left in 2001. Today, I'm a counsel of counsel at OFW Law, a law firm in Washington, D.C., where I practice law with, primarily with respect to agriculture, and I do book writing on the side.
Well, I would call your real-world experience in crop insurance as good as it can get. 1993, what was the significant change that occurred that caused crop insurance to move into the forefront at that time?
Well, the major event of 1993 in agriculture was a massive flood in the Midwest. It was described at the time as the flood of the half millennium. It was a 500-year flood in its sheer severity. It was so substantial that it actually changed the chemical balance of the Gulf of Mexico and part of the Atlantic Ocean. The damage to crops across the Midwest and much of the country was severe, some of the worst that we had seen in decades. At the time, crop insurance was a very small program. The total liability across the country was about $10 billion, about less than a tenth of what it is today. And as a result, when the disaster hit, there was nothing in effect to get farmers aid quickly. And so the practice at the time was that Congress responded by passing a disaster bailout bill, what they called an ad hoc disaster bill. They went to I remember at the time I was working at the Senate Agriculture, at the time I was still working at the Senate Agriculture Committee. Several senators went to the floor. They passed an emergency bill, and the price tag ended up being $8 billion. The money did finally get out to the country, but there was a lot of uncertainty through the whole process. There was uncertainty whether Congress would pass the bill. There was uncertainty what it would say. It took many weeks and months to implement it, to set up a system, to do loss adjustment, to set up rules for it. And at the time, this practice of ad hoc disaster bills this was the response that was done year in and year out when disaster struck. Well, crop insurance has become a very large program now, and so as a result, it's become the target. In earlier years, when target prices and direct payments were the larger programs, they were the target. Now the target is on crop insurance simply because it's grown to such an extent. There will always be debates on whether the precise level of subsidies for crop insurance is too high or too low, whether the payments to the companies or the underwriting gains enjoyed by the companies are too high or too low. And in recent years, we've seen those underwriting gains cut by both the agency and by Congress. We've seen the administrative payments cut repeatedly by Congress. We've also seen the premium levels reduced by the Risk Management Agency, which has the effect of reducing subsidies as well as underwriting gains for the companies. So a number of belt tightenings have taken place in response to those criticism simply because the program has become large and very heavily relied on.
Well, Mr. Ackerman, even with the reductions in payment by the government, the mm-hmm. number of 62 cents on the dollar that mm-hmm. is paid by the government versus the grower, some are critical, saying that is too high. Mm-hmm. Do you think that is the bargaining chip that's really being put out there? Or the criticism of crop insurance is by those who do not care for government subsidies at all, such that zero is the only number that they would really be happy with?
I think you have a point, but those who oppose the notion of subsidy for crop insurance would like to see it at zero. And what we've seen in the past is that for crop insurance specifically as a program, that doesn't work. Crop insurance is, in fact, different from other kinds of insurance. People make the example, well, the government doesn't have to subsidize people to buy life insurance or car insurance or insurance on their houses. Why should crop growing be different? And there is a difference. The difference is something called systemic risk. A certain number of houses will burn down in any given year, but actuaries, people who look at the numbers, can pretty accurately determine what percentage of houses that will be. For agriculture, that's different. You have certain years when massive droughts hit, when massive floods hit, and in those years, the losses are not simply a random selection of farms, but great swaths of the country. Without a government backup in some form, whether it's subsidies to farmers, reinsurance to companies, or some combination thereof, that system would bankrupt companies that try to provide that insurance. That was the experience in this country until the modern program was created, and that's why the modern program was created with those financial backstops.
Just a couple more questions.
Sure.
One of them is, who really, if you get right down to it from your perspective, benefits the mm-hmm. most from crop insurance? Is it the consumer with cheaper prices for food and more dependable supply, or is it the producer?
Oh, I think it's both. The consumer benefits from a cheaper food supply, a more ready food supply. The farmers benefit from more security in planting. I know when I was at the agency, when any issue would come up with involving crop insurance, particularly the money issues involving subsidy, you were always hung in a balance between what's the best deal for taxpayers and what's the best deal for farmers. That balance always hung over the program and continues to hang over the program. But clearly a healthy program, a program with the right level of subsidy that keeps it operating effectively, keeps it affordable for farmers, turns out to be the best deal for taxpayers as well.
So in conclusion, and I note that we are out a couple of years from the next farm bill, this
mm-hmm.
seems to be the first step in positioning crop insurance for the next farm bill. What are your fears that could happen to crop insurance in the next farm legislation if people don't understand its role?
Well, two things. And I don't know if these are fears, but they're certainly concerns. Right now, there's great uncertainty as to what the next farm bill will look like, partly because we're in the middle of a presidential election campaign and a congressional election campaign. We have two candidates with very different world views. How that will translate into a farm bill is very difficult to predict. This year, there'll be a management issue. The farm bill expires in 2018. Farm bills are not easy to write. They're big, fat, complicated documents, usually a couple of thousand pages long. So Congress is going to have to start in working with a new Secretary of Agriculture and a new administration almost immediately once the new administration takes its seat. So at this point, it's very hard to predict what the process will look like. Second, I think, is the obvious one, and that is there'll be a lot of budget pressures. The national debt is very high. Whoever wins the presidency is going to be pushing their economic plans, which may call for more spending or tax cuts, either way requiring offsets. And the farm bill will be debated under that shadow. So defending farm programs generally is going to be a very high priority and a very difficult task.
Mr. Ackerman, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Okay. My pleasure. Good talking to you.